Father, it's just such a blessing to our hearts. We just ask you again to uphold Brother Jim as he brings class, Father. It's just such a blessing to our hearts. We just ask you again to uphold Brother Jim as he brings this to us in your name.
Amen. Well, we're in the Bible in 8 ages. All right, how many of you have been reading your books? All right, you need to do that. We're on about, we're going to go up to page about 36 today, maybe, if we get there that far. And we're on page number 6 in your syllabus. That's your little study bag. And take notes in there. How many of you have a pencil and notes? Need to do that. That's good for you. All right, it's a little warm in here today. You know, we got a lot of rain, but we didn't need the heater this morning. We might need the cooler on. I don't know. Let's see if I turn the. Is that? I've got it set on cool there. It might cool us off a little bit in here. Let's see what happens. Make sure the heater doesn't come on. Whatever you do, don't turn the heater on. All right. Well, last week we were studying about who was it?
Elijah.
All right. Elijah the Tishbite. And it was in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, wasn't it? Where is that in the Bible? The Old Testament, huh?
First Kings.
All right. First Kings. All right. Let's go back there and look. Now, in your books, you're studying on page about 34, 35, 36. You need to read up to about page 50. And we're going to be going up pretty soon. We're going to get into theology, literal theology. What does theology mean? The study of God. We're going to go into that. And Brother David, this is what I was already teaching Brother David this morning. He had some questions about the book. Is that cooler? Is that? I hope it's not hot.
It's right in here.
You know, that's good. If it's not hot, it's all right. All right, 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. Now we had, who's the king of Israel?
Ahab.
Who's the princess of Israel?
Jezebel.
All right. I'm sure you're not going to go out and name your daughter Jezebel. And I hope you don't name your sons Ahab. Do you remember, I referred to this last week just a little bit. Remember when in the movie Moby Dick, and the guy that was going out that supposedly wrote the story, the narrative story, I can't think of his name, but he was going out there, and just before he got on the ship, this old headhunter was there with him, and he was a harpooner, and they run upon this, looked like this vagrant out there. And that vagrant got up, and he prophesied to them, didn't he? And how many of you have seen that movie?
I've read the book.
All right. And he prophesied and he told them that the ship was going to go down. Only one person would be saved. And then they got out there. I'm going to give you a little preview of the coming attractions tonight. They got out there and what was the kingdom's, what was the captain's name of that boat?
Ahab.
What was the guy that said the prophecy before they got out there? Elijah. All right. When they got out there, finally, in the whole end, they were going to go out there and kill this big white whale. And his name was Moby Dick. And now, I didn't show all this in the movie, but this is what happened. This was an ancient custom. We're going to get into this tonight in church history, too. All right. Old Ahab got out there and he got all the harpooners, the head harpooners, and they got up there and he said, "Now get your lances out," and that's those steel points on the end of those. And then he asked them to bring a bowl. And they took those lances and they would stab in each man's arm and they would drain blood into that bowl and they would baptize those lances in that blood to swear by their lives that they would go out and get that white. All right. We're going to get into some of that tonight. Now, how many of you know they did that in church history? Huh? We're going to get into that just a little bit. But they were after that white whale. All right? And Ahab went down. Well, Ahab goes down, too, also in the Old Testament. Now, here's Ahab. Now, Elijah was hiding out, wasn't he, in the 17th chapter? God took care of him in the 18th chapter. Now, in verse 1, it says, "Now it came about after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go and show yourself to Ahab." Now, he went up there, and later on in that verse, let's see, where do we end off? Let's just start number 7, verse number 7, all right? Verse number 7. 18 and verse number 7. Got to get you caught up with last week's just a little bit. That feels better. That's Brother David. But don't let it get too much colder, though. Number 7. All right, who's got 18 and verse number 7? Have you got that, David?
No.
"And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, Art thou that my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned, that thou wouldst deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me?"
Why did he say that? There was a death warrant, dead or alive, for Elijah for all this time, because he said that he wasn't going to let it rain in Israel. None of the land was going to get any rain. All right? So Ahab's real mad. Jezebel's trying to kill him. All of these people are set against him. Now verse number 10. Let's have someone... Wally, you want to read that verse number 10?
"As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom where my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go tell the Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass that as soon as I am gone from thee..."
Now, I want you to see what this prophet says, this man Obadiah says, because he believes that God's going to protect Elijah, because he has so far. So what's he saying?
"The Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee where I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth."
All right, let's go stop right there. Now, Brother Harold.
Yes, sir.
Number 13.
"Okay. Has it not been told my master what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, that I hid in a... 100 prophets of the Lord by 50s in the cave and provided them with bread and water? And now you are saying, Go say to your master, Behold, Elijah is here. He will kill me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today."
All right.
More?
Yeah, go on a little bit further.
"So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him. And Ahab went to meet Elijah. And when it came about, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, Is this you, troubler of Israel? And he said, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed the Baals."
All right. Now, Ahab called him the troubler of Israel. Now remember, this was the king of Israel, supposed to be leading God's people in righteousness. What is the only nation that God has ever had?
Israel.
That's the only nation He's ever had. We, as Americans, we want to think that this is God's nation and God we trust and all that kind of stuff. But God only called out one nation. He called out one nation, and that was Israel. And that nation is God's nation even to this day, even though God isn't running it. It's still His nation. I don't care. Yeah, Brother Harold.
Do you suppose Ahab was so far gone that he didn't recognize God at all as being the purveyor of the no rain?
Well, who was he worshiping?
Baal.
Well, yeah, but who was he worshiping?
Jezebel.
You're right, brother. That's it. He was worshiping his wife. He was in love with her, and he couldn't see anything beyond her, and he didn't care. Anything she wanted went. What happened to Solomon?
He was the same old thing.
Huh?
Same old thing. He got... with his old crazy.
Here was the one of the first kings of Israel and the most glorious reign of the nation of Israel. And here's Solomon. And what turned his heart away from God?
Impurity.
women. A woman can be a good thing, but a woman can be a bad thing. In this case, these women were bad things. So what did Solomon do? What did Solomon do? He built church houses for all of his wives higher than the temple of God. Did you know that? Higher than the temple of God. Every place you looked, there was some pagan edifice for church, for meeting, assembly. And only one temple of God.
Well, wasn't part of Baal worship a female god, Ashtoreth?
Yes, Baal was a male and female was Ashtoreth. All right, and you get that in your book, too. It tells you a little bit about there. All right, verse number 19. Mike, are you there? All right.
Now then, send and gather to me all Israel at Mount Carmel, together with 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the Ashtoreth, who eat at Jezebel's table.
All right, who's Jezebel?
Ahab's wife.
Ahab's wife. Who's feeding all these rats?
Jezebel.
Jezebel. And who? What are they trying to do with the God's prophet? Starve him to death. Think about that one for a while. This is God's nation now. Remember that. Verse number 20.
So Ahab sent a message among all the sons of Israel and brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel.
Here we have a great, great contest. We had one back in Egypt, didn't we? That should have worked and should have lasted forever. But people are hard heads. We are bent on sinning and going the wrong direction, aren't we? That's just the way we are, isn't it? Now, this is God's nation. He took them out of Egypt, brought them into the land. And how long did it take them to get into the land? The whole first generation had to die except for a couple of people, Joshua and Caleb. They all had to die because they weren't even worthy to walk into God's land. Now after he gets them in here, they go the wrong way again. Now we're going to have another contest like what happened down in Egypt. All right. Number 21. Luis, are you there?
Yes.
Number 21.
And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord's God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But people answer him, not a word.
All right. Joshua 24 and verse 15, I think it is. If I remember right, Joshua 24 and verse 15. Go back there. This is what we call leftovers, rehash, TV dinners. I remember in the old days we used to make our own TV dinners, so to call.
Called leftovers.
It was leftovers. Take them out here. I worked out here at Sunland Refinery, and we had an old steam pumps out there, and we'd take our food and these little homemade TV dinners and set them out there on top of that steam part of it and come back in about an hour, and it was all cooked, all ready to go again. But here we have leftovers. 24 and verse 15, Brother Randy.
And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
That's history repeated, isn't it? These are almost the exact words of Joshua. What does the name Joshua mean? Yahshua.
Savior.
Yahshua HaMashiach. How many of you know what that means? Yahshua HaMashiach.
The one who shall become?
Jesus. The Messiah. That was in Hebrew, though. Yahshua is the name for Jesus. All right? Jesus means Jehovah saves. Isn't that a beautiful name? Jehovah saves. Jesus came to save us, didn't he? All right. Now, that's what Joshua spoke. He spoke that. All right? Now, verse 22. Let's go to verse 22. Let's see who we got out here. Young lady, have you got your Bible? Can you read there for me? All right.
Then Elijah said to them, I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets.
1 to 450. That's pretty bad odds. By the way, you did a beautiful job in that little play last night, young lady.
Oh, thank you.
Great job. One against 450, but there's more than that. How many were there? 450 and then 400. So how many is that? 850. One against 850. That's like one against a thousand almost, isn't it? Well, you get all the followers out there, and we got more than one against a thousand. Thousands, actually. We got one man of God and thousands against him, because I can guarantee you the rooting section out there was all for Ashtoreth and Baal and Ahab and Jezebel. All right? Go ahead, Marjorie.
Get two bulls for us. Let them choose for one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it.
All right, now here's the contest. Here's the contest. Now, how did they come to God in both of these things? They had sacrifices, didn't they? They had sacrifices. Now, God says, we're going to figure out who is God here. Who's the real God? Whether your gods that you have, you go get all of them. Call these gods to attention. Blow your horns. Do whatever. What do you have to do? Get their attention. And we're going to go have us a contest here on Mount Carmel. And I think that mountain was, 1,687 feet high.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I've been there.
You've been there. I've been there too.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a kind of a high place.
Yeah.
All right. And now we're for everybody to see all around there. Okay. And then where did we end off there? 24. Go ahead there, Marjorie.
Then you call the name of your God, and I will call the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God.
He is God.
And all the people said, what you say is good.
All right, this is a good idea. Now, if you were does it sound fair? Is it fair? But now we're going to get into the non-fair side.
Baal has the edge. You got more people hollering.
That's right. Here we got one man, and everybody else is head out. Do you think that? Elijah's got a cheering section here? Absolutely zilch. All right. So we got one guy against thousands, so to speak. And now we're going to get into the unfair, and it's not unfair on God's side or on the false God side, but it's unfair to God. We're going to start putting some odds against God now. Some real odds against the real God. All right, let's go and see what it says here. Verse number 25. All right. Verse number 25. Are you there, Emma?
Mm-hmm.
Can you read that?
So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one ox for yourself and prepare it, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it.
No fire under it.
Then they took the ox which was given them, and they prepared it on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us, but there was no voice, and no one answered. And they leaped about the altar which they made.
All right, they leaped about the altar, and they screamed, and they called, and they bawled, and squalled. All right? For how long? From morning until noon. All right? This is probably early in the morning. Probably almost daylight now. And here it is noon. Half the day is gone, or more than half the day is gone, and they have no answer from their gods. All right? They have no answer from their gods. Now, verse number 27, Brother Harold.
And it came about at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, call out with a loud voice, for he is God. Either he is occupied or gone aside, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and needs to be wakened.
All right, now hold on here and let's see what he's saying. You think God has humor?
He sure does.
Huh?
Not only that, he was mocking them.
He was making funny. This is, and who is inspiring him to do it? How many of you ever seen a porcupine? Huh?
Yeah.
All right, now it takes a little humor to create a porcupine.
How about a giraffe?
How a giraffe? How about a skunk? That's a pretty little animal. Did you ever smell one? There's levity in God's actions and what he's done. And here God is. Now let's look and figure out what he's saying from the original. Anybody here got the Amplified Bible at all? Anybody got an Amplified Bible? Nobody? That's something you ought to get for studying. Anyway, it's a good explanation. All right, it came about at noon, and Elijah mocked them and said, call out with a loud voice, for your God is either gone to the bathroom, he's in the outhouse, That's exactly what he said. He's gone aside, or he's on a vacation. He's on a vacation, on a journey, or perhaps he's what?
Asleep.
Asleep and needs to be awakened. Now, the God of heaven, is God omniscient?
Yes.
What does omniscient mean?
All knowing.
For God to be God, there's three principles of God that is necessary for God to be God. What are those three principles? We're going to study them a little bit later, but what are they?
Omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence.
All right, he's got to be all knowing. Now, do these things that they're worshiping, are they all knowing?
No.
No. All right. Are they omnipresent?
No.
Are they omnipowerful?
No.
God already proved this back in Egypt, didn't he? For all time. Is it getting too cool in here for you now?
Yeah,
too cool. Can you turn that thing off? Where'd he go?
All right.
You'll take care of it. All right. David's going to take care of it in just a minute. Maybe he's asleep. If he was asleep, he wouldn't be God, would he?
Nope.
All right. Number 28. Here we go. Number 28. Here they're earnest now. Brother John.
So they cried aloud and cut themselves, and as was their custom, with knives and lances, until the blood gushed out of them.
All right. Now let's look at this. Now remember what they did on that ship on Moby Dick? The Pequot, I think it was?
Yeah.
They gashed their arms, and they filled this blood, and they dipped those lances in there. Now, this is the thing that they're doing here. They're cutting themselves and crying to God. Do you think that they're earnest?
By all means.
Yeah, they are. They're earnest. These people are solidly intent on calling. Now, these are the prophets.
They must have been believers in that Baal.
That's right. They believed in him. Now, we studied a lot about church. We've had 20 classes in church history so far. What have you learned in church history, Brother David? One of the things that you've learned.
Oh, gosh. One of the things that I've learned.
Does the world have false religion?
No.
Does the world have shades of false religions?
Yeah.
Every kind of shade that you can think of. Any from no truth to almost truth. That's true. All right? That's what you've learned. Now, are all of these people earnest on and intent
absolutely.
On serving God? Has there ever been a religious war, ever?
Always.
Huh?
Always.
And we are history has been inundated with religious wars. Haven't they? We're in the midst of one right now in the world, aren't we? Religious war. Now, some are right and some are wrong. I keep hearing that that the Arabs are cowards because they blow up these bombs. What are they doing? What are they doing? I don't think there's a coward over there. I think they're misled. But how much guts, literally, how much fortitude, how much belief does it take to take a great big bomb and drive a car into an area and then blow yourself up? Do you think the people believe? Do you think they're brave?
Think they're going to be martyrs.
Yeah, they're going to be martyrs. They're going to get right into heaven and they wake up in hell. Boy, what a disappointment that's got to be. But here we have it again right here in history. These people are crying. They're cutting themselves. Why, some of them might even died for a loss of blood and screaming their lungs out all the time. But you know what? Their God isn't there. You know something? You need to worship a God that is there.
Behind all this is Satan, isn't it?
That's right.
So Satan is present in the world.
Satan is present in these worship services. He is. Now, the Buddhists, the people in the world, there was a... Have you heard of Judson? Adoniah? Adoniram Judson.
Yeah.
You know that he was a Congregationalist preacher. That means Church of England. All right. And he was heading out from America to go to India to preach to those people over there. He made a mistake. You know what the mistake was? all the way across those waters, he started reading his Bible. By the time he got halfway over there, he was a Baptist. And he said, I need to be baptized. I don't have the authority to even come and do this. Then he ran into another guy named Rice. And he was doing the same thing. They were both going over there, and they got together, and they finally got baptized over there. Then they find out they couldn't go there. And they went into Burma, and you know what they were doing over there? They wouldn't allow to even Baptist. You, as a Baptist, they didn't have any permission to go in there. You know, the Lord will hold out truth where the world will keep truth from being preached a lot more than half-truths. He couldn't go. They got over there, and they were persecuted heavily. Persecuted heavily. The world doesn't want to hear the truth. You know, Brother Wally says over and over again, he said, how come your classes aren't full and brimming and busting out at the deal? You know what? Even God's people sometimes aren't really, really interested in the truth, are they? Like we ought to be. The truth ought to be indelibly strong in our lives. It ought to make us desire to serve God as much as does an infidel that is serving some weirdo God that doesn't really exist. We serve a God that is really there. Don't we?
Amen.
We do. Verse number 29. Who wants to read verse number 29? Who's over there? Anna, you got that? What kind of a translation you got there?
NIV.
Oh, okay. That'll work.
Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice, but there was no response, no one answered, no one paid attention.
All right. Now, I want you to cross-reference something. I want you to cross-reference this verse right here, the next verses, with Acts 16 and 16. Acts 16 and verse 16. Acts 16 and verse 16, and somebody go there, and then we're gonna get there in just a minute. All right? And I want you to write down the word in Greek, mantuomene. Mantuomene. Verse number 30. Let's look at that one. Have you got that still there, Anna?
Yes, I do. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins.
All right, now here's the altar of God, and what kind of shape is it in?
Ruined.
It's destroyed. This destroyed. All right. And verse number 31. Verse number 31. You there, Tony? Are you there? Verse number 31, 18 and 31.
Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of tribes of the sons of Jacob.
All right.
To whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name.
All right. Now look at this. He's trying to do something here, isn't he? He's trying to remind them of something. Who they are. Who they are. He's trying to remind them who they are. And it says, the word of Jehovah. What's the word Jehovah mean?
He who shall become.
He who shall become. All right, Jehovah. Whom the Lord, word of the Jehovah had come saying, Israel shall be your name. Who did he tell that to? Jacob.
Jacob,
he told Jacob that his name would be Israel, and then the tribes of Israel, his sons are called, well, they made up the tribes of Israel, which means the nation of Israel, okay? And these 12 stones represent what?
The tribes of Israel.
The tribes of Israel. So what is Elijah doing? He's giving them a little history lesson. Acts the 7th chapter. Acts the 7th. Cross-references to Acts the 7th chapter also. Here we have a problem in Acts the 7th chapter. Write that down there someplace too. Acts chapter 7. What happened in Acts chapter 7? Anybody remember?
Stephen preaches.
What's Stephen preaching? He's preaching to Israel there. Now Israel didn't get this lesson back here, people. They didn't comprehend it.
The whole chapter
there. And at the end of that chapter, What did Israel do to Stephen? Killed him. What did Stephen do, though? What was his message to Israel?
Just exactly what God gave Israel.
He told them the history of Israel.
Yeah.
How many times does God have to tell us the same story before we get it? Huh?
Sometimes he has to knock us over the head.
Oh, beat us over the head. Do what? What does he have to do to get your attention?
Mr. Barna says that our young people aren't really getting the message. They're getting all kinds of entertainment, but
that's
they're
right.
not getting the message.
Well, I'm trying to entertain you with God's Word. That's what I try to do, is entertain you with God's Word. I try to make it a part of your life. All right? Acts, the 7th chapter, tells about the history of Israel again. The history of Israel. He told them all the promises first. Stephen delineated, and all of them saying, yay, 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 out there in the background, amen, so be it. What does the word amen mean?
So be it.
So be it. All right, it means more than that. Comes from Chaldee or Persian, doesn't it? What's it mean in Persian? To prop up or stand behind it. It came into Hebrew, and it was Amen in Hebrew. What does Amen in Hebrew mean? To prop up or stand behind it. Okay? And then it came into Greek. What's it mean in Greek? It's a particle of affirmation, which means to stand behind it or say, so be it, or absolutely truth. All right? Absolute truth. And all the time they were saying this, they were saying Amen to Stephen. And then the last words that Stephen said just wiped off. They became killers. What did the last thing that Stephen said to them?
Lord, do not hold this sin against them.
No. To them.
Yeah.
What did he say to them? That's he talking to the Lord there.
Yeah.
What did he say to them?
You crucified the King of Glory.
You, Israel, you have crucified the King of Glory. Now here, they tore down the altar of Jehovah God. There hadn't been a sacrifice to God. Did God forget them? They forgot God, but did God forget them?
No.
How many of you been saved and got out in the world? Anybody? Not?
Gone to Bedlam now.
Yeah, well, that's it. As a preacher one time came to a little old church, and the preacher, he was going to preach a revival. That song was a revival song that she taught. This preacher was going to preach a revival there at this church. Now he said, the preacher, the pastor of that church, he said, now I'm going to tell you something. I don't want you to preach about drinking, because there's some of our church members that drink a little bit. And he said, I don't want you to preach about dancing, because some of them dance. It's going to hurt the flock. It's going to really destroy. You're going to scatter the flock if you start preaching about dancing. And he said, don't preach about gambling, because he said, they go to bingo groups and they go to the casinos and different things like this. So don't you be talking about gambling and card playing. All right? He said, well, what can I preach about? Well, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, get them Campbellites. So Church of Christ, he said, aren't any of them here, so you won't offend them what I'm preaching against them. Isn't that the way it is sometimes in our lives? We get out there and we get in the world and get to smelling like the world and looking like the world, or they can't tell us from the world. But God is still our God, isn't he? And he has to whip us back in line, get us back in the narrow road where we ought to be. You think he's going to leave you alone, Brother David? Once you've been saved, is the Lord ever going to leave you alone? You may forget God.
I think the most miserable person in the world is a Christian who is backslidden.
That's right. Here we have a backslidden nation. And this nation is not ready to turn loose of the sins that they are wallowing in. All right? Number 32. Let's look at number 32. Tony, you want to go there? All right, 18, 1 Kings 18 and verse 32. We're going to go back to Acts 16 and 16 pretty soon. But we're going to go, now just keep your mind on that. We're not finished with it, if I can get that far. 18 and verse 1 Kings. 1 Kings 18 and verse 32. You found it yet?
Found it.
All right.
So the stone, so with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord.
In the name of Jehovah.
And made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold 2 measures of seed.
All right. About 22 quarts of seed. 5.5 gallons. All right.
Then he arranged the wood and cut the ox in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said, fill 4 pitchers with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood.
Now this is, you know what? This is what we call odds, isn't it?
Wetting her belly.
Huh? He's making it easy for these false gods. God wants them to understand that, you know what? I'm gonna be handicapped just a little bit here. We're going to handicap Jehovah. We're going to pour water all over this place. Go ahead, Tony.
And he said, do it a second time. And
oh, boy. Second time. And then he said what?
Do it a third time. And they did it a third time.
Just think about this.
And the water flowed around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water.
All right. Boy. Now here we have God now with a handicap.
Give me 50 yards before I start.
Yeah, that's right. Now, what is he trying to prove? What's God trying to prove?
Who is God?
God is there. Jehovah is there. This is the real God of Israel. Now, do you think that Ahab heard the story? Do you think Ahab learned anything from this? How about Jezebel? Let's go on. Look at it. Water flowed around the altar. Number 36. Harold, let's go to that.
And then it came about the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice.
About the time it's supposed to be offered. The real offering now. Now we're getting back to God's clock. Not to the pagan clock, but God's clock, the evening sacrifice.
That Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant. And that I have done all these things at thy word.
All right. All of these things according to the word of God. What is the Baptist rule of faith and practice? What is it? Come on, guys.
God's word.
God's word. That's what we believe. We believe God's word. Brother David came to my classes, 2 years ago now?
About that.
He was a little bit discouraged out there in the religious world and everything, and he came in. He was a little bit, I had a lot of questions, didn't you, brother? And I just kept on teaching God's word to him, and he kept on learning. He said, you know, sometimes, he said, I didn't know exactly what you believed, but he said, you convinced me from God's word everything that I have learned. It was convinced from God's word. You know, there's a lot of false religion out there in the world. There's only one truth. And sometimes it's a little harder to find in the maze. How many of you have ever gone through a maze? Now, this real world of religion is a maze, people. And the devil did that on purpose, I can guarantee you. He did it on purpose. Now, look at here what it says. And it came about the time of the evening offering, the Lord, that's the sacrifice, that Elijah. What does Elijah mean? Pay attention to these names. What does it mean? What does Elijah mean?
God is Jehovah.
God is Jehovah. That's what Elijah's name means. All right, God, and this is the prophet of whom?
God.
The God of Israel, which is the God Jehovah. All right, El, Elijah. The first part of his name starts with this, Elijah. All right, and Jehovah is the last part of it, Elijah. Okay? And the prophet came near and said, the Lord, the Jehovah, the Elohim. Jehovah Elohim. Here we have it up here. Jehovah Elohim. Jehovah Elohim, the God, all right, the Elohim. Now, all of these people had Elohims, didn't they? Look at the name Elohim for a minute. El Hayim. Look at it. We didn't get here, Brother David. We made it. El Hayim, all right? Here we have El, God, Creator, and then it says plural. I wish Lee Kuster was here today. He read a whole book on this name one time. And that book said the whole world has Elohims. But only God's people have Jehovah Elohim. All right? They had a creator. They trusted in their creator. They trusted in their God. They thought these Baals had created them, and the Asherah, the male and the female goddesses, gods. They thought that they had created and they were taking care of them and supplying their every need. But who was supplying their need if they had a need? The real God. But God says here that I represent Jehovah Elohim. Jehovah Elohim. The Lord, He is God.
Can I ask a question about that?
Mm-hmm.
The book that we're reading says that Jehovah and Elohim are interchangeable.
Jehovah means what?
He shall become.
Colossians, the first chapter, tells about the creation of the heavens and the earth. Who created the heavens and the earth?
Jehovah,
which is Jesus. All right? Now, Elohim is the word God, and even the Arabs look to the name Elohim, and you know what they say about him? It's the Most High God. That Most High God. Now, every time that God talks about His covenant relationship with mankind, He's called Jehovah Elohim. Jehovah Elohim. Jehovah is the covenant God of Israel, and Jehovah is the one that saves you. John 1 and 1 and John 1 and 14. You indelibly put that in your head, because that is probably the most important verses in the Bible, because it tells us who our Redeemer is. In beginning, singular, all the way back, John 1 and 1, kept on being the Jehovah. And the Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Elohim. He never ceased being God when He came to this earth, because He kept on being God, the last part of the verse. And then John 1, 14, in Greek, Brother David.
Kai ho logos sarx
aganiko. And the Word, the Jehovah, flesh, He became. Why did He become flesh? To redeem us. So we could see our God and see what He's like and see how much He loves us. These asterisks and the Baals, they had to die for them. Did you know that? People have to die for false gods. But God tells us that He died for us. Isn't that right? What did Stephen say in Acts 17th chapter? What did he say?
The same message.
You crucified the God of glory. He came down and He died for you. You crucified the God of glory. Let's go on a little bit further now. Did I answer your question? Sort of. Elohim is God. But our God is Jehovah Elohim.
Why do the Arabs say Allah then?
Allah is another form of El. Of El. Allah and El. El. El is God. All right?
No. How come the translators use Lord so much for Jehovah when Lord means Adonai?
Well, Adonai is the Hebrew translation of... It's not a translation. It's a Hebrew replacement for the name Jehovah. But they never spoke the name. They never spoke the name Jehovah. They referred to Him as Adonai, which means King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Or else they referred to Him as the Word.
Okay, I'm a little confused, but if Jehovah means the one who shall become...
Yes. But in the Old Testament, when Israel came to the name Jehovah, all right, they took a special pen and they wrote it with a special pen only. That name was written with that pen only, and they never spoke that name. They said that name was too holy to be spoken. Alright? So they referred to that Him. They referred to God in Hebrew. When they were talking in Hebrew, they referred to the name Jehovah as Adonai, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Or they referred to that name as the name or the Word. Okay? Because they didn't speak His name. Now everybody's got an Elohim. But only God's people have a Jehovah Elohim. All right? Everybody's got a creator. Because you're here, aren't you? But only God's people have a Jehovah Elohim. All right? A Jehovah Elohim. Now let's go on a little bit further. In verse number
32?
Verse number
38.
All right. No, verse. Go back up to verse 36, okay? Let's read that again. Verse number 36. Harold, read that. Would you please?
Then it came about at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, God of Abraham, Israel, and Isaac, today let it be known that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Continue.
Yes.
Answer me, O Lord. Answer me that this people may know that thou, O Lord, art God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord
fell. All right,
fell.
That. Answer me, why? To prove to these people that you are God, and to do what?
To bring their hearts back
to Him. That's the whole purpose of this whole contest, was to bring Israel's hearts back to God. Now, did they have a religion that they could feel?
Yeah.
Huh? Did they get excited?
Oh, yeah. Excited enough to cut themselves.
They were excited enough to cut themselves, or jumping up and down there having a good time. How about these religious revivals they had out here on these hilltops? They had a ball out there, didn't they? Running up and down. They had a God that they could feel, that they were excited about it. Now turn to Acts 16th chapter. Acts the 16th chapter. Let's look at their...
16, you're finally
going to
get to it.
I'm going to try to. All right, Acts 16, verse 16. Now there's a woman here, and she's prophesying. She's prophesying exactly the same words in the Septuagint that are used right here. All right, let's go look at it. This woman would go into trances. Now this is the old... This was an old practice of prophesying. The prophets of Baal did this. When they got up on the hill, when they cut themselves, they would go into a trance. They had their prophets that would set over these deep holes there, and the vapors would come up, and they would go into a trance, and they would start speaking in a language that no one could understand except the prophets. And then the prophet would translate it for them. And this is what you call mantua mene. All right? This is what it was used. All right, Acts 16. Are you there, Brother Harold?
Go ahead, Wally.
I called you by the wrong name. Looked at him and called him Harold.
And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain maid possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much gain by soothsaying.
All right, now this is the word here. Now they had the spirit of... Do you remember what I said about that, Brother Fernando? The spirit of what? The snake, Pythona. The word python comes from that. The great python. Who do you think the great python in history was?
Satan.
All right. That represents... She had a spirit of the snake. And that she had a gift of... A spirit of mantua mene, that she would go into a trance and start speaking in this what?
Speaking in tongues.
Speaking in this unknown language. And then the prophets of Baal and her prophets would translate this, and they would tell people where they lost something or whatever. That's what she was doing. And they really did it. They really did it. This really happened. And that's what happened back here. Now, see... All the way in the New Testament, we have the same bunch of jerks. They're there. All the way from back here. The same bunch.
Devil doesn't change much.
No. He just changes things. I just remember that for a while. All right. And verse 39, we're almost finished.
By the way, that took place in Thyatira.
Thyatira, yes.
One of the seven churches.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's right. They had trouble with them, didn't they? The same religious practice was over there under a different name.
Still having trouble with him today?
Well, we're a little bit, yeah, brother. We're having a little trouble with him today. Okay, verse number 39. 38. Tony, can you read that for me? 38.
Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and lifted the water that was in the trench.
Go ahead.
When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God."
The Jehovah, He is Elohim. And the Jehovah, He is God. Isn't that beautiful? God's people recognized Him again. God's people recognized Him again, didn't they? Then in verse number 40, what's the last verse say?
Then Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal, do not let them escape." So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there.
All right.
Boy, he was mean, wasn't he?
Yeah. God meant business, didn't he? God meant there was a religious war instigated right here, people. It was instituted by God. And He did the slaying, right? His prophets did the slaying. They slew them. He first of all proved that He was God, and then they were slain right here. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go eat and drink, for there is the sound of a roar of a heavy rain coming." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, "Go up now and look toward the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go back seven times." And he went about the seventh time that he said, "Behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea." And he said, "Go up now and say to Ahab, 'Prepare your chariot and go down so that the shower does not stop you.'" So it came about a little while. Now this is God's king, supposedly. This man has not been converted yet. "And that the sky grew black with clouds of wind, and there was a heavy shower, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and outran Ahab to Jezreel." He outran the horses, didn't he? Well, that's the story of the contest on Mount Carmel. I hope that you learned something from it today. Let's come back next week and we'll study on page number 6, but we're going to start with the Ten Commandments there and then go on down. All right?